It's that time again. Yeah. Ya es la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit, yeah. That mean you take a loss if you spray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it say what it say. Llave en el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y salitas, oye como explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, just be there. It's the power hour. Feel every hour. Tune in to your history. You know it ain't no mystery. Power hour. Feel every hour. You know what you're doing, you're doing what I was, how I was.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I am Captain Yahshua.
Officer Elkanah.
Soldier Tobias.
All right, all right. Been a long time since I've seen you on the show.
I know, right?
It's been a while since you've been on?
Yes, sir. It's been a minute.
Have you been on the Plus?
I think, yes.
Yeah?
But not with you, Cap.
No, not with me.
No, sir.
Oh, come
okay.
On,
first
man.
Time.
Yeah, man. Okay, all right.
I'm
that's what's up. That's
time.
What's going on. You nervous?
Might a little bit, but
yeah.
I'll be all right.
That means it's important to you.
Right.
I still get nervous.
All praises.
I mean, I'm not nervous today. I was more tired than anything else, but.
Yeah, today was a long day.
Oh, so it's not just me?
No, not very
oh, okay,
long
all right. Mm-hmm. I feel like that for oh, is that why you were late?
Yeah, it was a very long day. I live far, too.
We late because Officer Elgin was late.
Come on, man.
And he called me. He
needs some milk.
Officer Shy, I didn't think I heard when he was talking to him first. He was like, oh, call Kev. Well, you call Kev for telling me you're late. You just, yeah. And then he was like, damn, he was actually pretty mellow about that.
Right, try to ease the blow.
Yeah, so I'm going to get him on air. I'm going to get him on air. Nah, I get it.
Oh,
I understand. And we have the seasoned veteran, Soldier Tobias, with us.
No, far from it. A couple times.
Yeah,
I'll
man. All right. All praises to the Most High. So I think, are we simulcasting on multiple channels?
Yes, sir. We're on IUIC Classrooms 2. We're on IUIC Classrooms on Facebook. I'm sorry, IUIC Classrooms 2 YouTube and IUIC Classrooms Facebook.
Okay. All right. So that is the normal setup for the shows. All right. Stuff that's brought out. We opted when we started the show to not be on the IUIC Classrooms first and also the IUIC Classrooms 2 on YouTube because we said we wanted to build up the Phoenix page a little bit. So we went the hard organic growth route. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we would share the show on Facebook to IUIC Classrooms and we would do it exclusively on IUIC Phoenix's page because it helps like with the algorithms and stuff. But it was always with the intention of doing it the regular way,
right?
You know, just get it up because all the other radio shows do that. I did not want to lose the audience participation from the Phoenix page. That's the one that I really monitor the most as far as comments go during the show. Officer Shire, our producer, said, hey, you know, the other shows, they do it on both their channels, you know, so they can do both. And I said, all right, man, let's just do it. Let's hit the switch and let's see. Hopefully we don't lose momentum for the Phoenix page. We're on the quest for 15,000 subscribers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. We try new things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Hopefully we don't lose the momentum on that. Mm-hmm. Hey, so you haven't been on the show in a while and you're joining it with a mm-hmm. wide audience.
All praises to the Most High.
Right. We're on the IUSC Twitter feed now too. But ever since they did away with Periscope, that don't really get a lot of pull.
I ain't heard about Periscope in a minute.
I don't know, man. I know I made this comment before And people are like, nah, a lot of people be on Twitter. I don't know, man. I think Twitter's more like for, you know, Edomites.
Yeah,
like politicians and stuff.
I think that's what I meant. Yeah. That's like for like politicians and stuff like that. Like I don't know, like Twitter's like upscale. Yeah. All
right. Bougie.
Yeah, a little bougie, you know. And then I don't know. We are on Instagram, but we don't broadcast on Instagram, right? Like that's not a broadcasting platform.
No, not at all.
Okay, all right. Because everybody's kind of tight with Facebook too, but no people stay on there. Facebook's like slumming it now, right? Because Twitter's like upscale. I don't know. I don't really mess with the social media like that. People get in trouble on that thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a brother here we were talking about he got a Snapchat. I'm like, isn't that for like when you're trying to be like
teenagers?
To,
yeah, that's like an.
I thought that was when you were trying to be like, you know,
right,
wicked.
You want to holler at a woman?
Right, right. That's what I thought.
I thought that was
Snapchat
like
a
generation Z type.
It
deal.
Could be. You know? I just think it's like the messages like disappear or something
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Like real
so
crafty and sneaky.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm. So you just be like, hey, I ain't got it. So I don't know. Right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, someone said the beard looking good. That is because of. Oh, the manly badge of dignity beard line.
Right, right.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's available up on originalroyalty.com. Exclusive. Years in the making.
Right.
Right. If you watch the Sabbath class, we had a little promo for it.
Yep.
All right. I did say one of the officers so kindly sent me a voice to correct me. He didn't say, yo, the video was dope. Can't wait. I'm going to support the beard line. He said, yo, it's not a vlog. It's a vlog, Captain. I said, damn. I said I'm officially old. I said I'm officially old because I didn't know that.
I was thinking it, but
I knew of vlogs, but I guess I'm officially old because I did not know the proper vernacular for that.
I've heard it before. I don't really know.
Yeah, vlog sound more hip, Cap.
Yeah, sound more hip. I'm gonna change it up. I'm gonna call it a vlog.
That sounds dope.
Cat was looking like a little boy. Yes, I was. I definitely was. I was in the beard struggle for a long time, for many years, and I will be posting videos and you know, maybe popping in on the occasional live on Facebook on the Original Royalty page, giving little tips and pointers on things that I did as far as the beard oil is concerned.
Hey,
and I tell you what, all these years I waited for a beard, and I said this. I'm a prophet. I'm going to give myself my own props on a prophet. I said, watch, by the time I grow a beard, I'm going to start losing my hair, man. And I'm thinning up top now.
Can't notice.
Yeah, you can't say.
But that's lawful. But that's lawful, right? So at least I'll take the lawful beard, right? And then, you know, deal with the other piece. But yes, all praises. I appreciate the compliment on the beard. A lot of hard work and dedication. I will make sure on the vlog.
That's on trend.
That I emphasize that, man. I want brothers throwing on the manly badge of dignity and thinking their beard gonna sprout tomorrow.
Right.
It takes discipline, right? It takes the routine and all of that. And I'll break that down in detail. And
it's just like farming. It's gonna take time.
Right. Are you farming the hairs? There you go. That's what you're trying to do.
Does it take stress as well?
Does it relieve stress?
No. Does it take stress to build to grow it?
You know what? I think the years of y'all stressing me here in Phoenix did help grow it. Cause I feel like I look like a boy and I like really straight up, I'm looking more manly now.
I mean, within
well,
like,
cause
three,
that was right
years.
Before that before picture that I put was right before I moved.
Wow.
That was like my little going away thing that some of the congregants had for me. So, yep. And then I came here. And year by year,
so
y'all aged me.
Yeah.
He needs some milk.
Y'all aged me, especially Officer Shire. Man, oh man. Hey, in that before picture, I was, I think, 38, 39. Yep. I was looking like that at 38, 39.
That's crazy.
So that was about 5 years ago. Anyway, we're going to jump in on topic because last week I couldn't even do the topic. I didn't even get to do the topic last week. Damn, everybody's fed up with Facebook. We only got like 5 viewers on there. After last week's debacle where they took us off for the Pussalia clip.
Oh,
it was 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row they booted us for the Pussalia thing. But so we won't show it today, all right? So we don't get booted off Facebook. Then they wind up muting that piece of it, right? They'll still let it air.
The hell is this?
but then they mute that piece of it. Mm. So, hey, listen, whichever channel you're watching now, right, it looks a little light on the Phoenix side, so I'm assuming people are on the other simulcast. Make sure you do subscribe, all right? We're trying to bump the subscribers here in Phoenix, all right? Make sure you subscribe, like, okay, share on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page, all right? As well as the Facebook Power Hour page, all right? That helps us out. We've been able to, that's why I don't think I ever want to move away from that Facebook platform. Like, we were able to, you know, get, like, when we did the Native Beats a few times, and it was off of the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times you hit them with IUIC, they're going to look us up, and they're going to see, you know, SPLC, they're going to see the Anti-Defamation League, and they may not want to engage in the dialogue with us.
Right.
Same thing with Dr. Sanchez from the Brown Berets. It was, you know, we lead with that as a radio show page, and that helps us out quite a bit. So make sure that you support, all right, like, share, save, subscribe, all that stuff, all right? Also, let's not forget, all right, I know travel has been somewhat limited compared to where we were until this pandemic happened. But support the Booster Club, all right? It's up on the screen, IUIC.fundraising at IsraelUnite.org, IUIC.fundraising@IsraelUnite.org. The Booster Club has evolved. It is not just about the traveling per se. It does still fund the travel. But now as we establish schools in these places, we establish a following. A lot of them, it's not America. I know we are very American-centric, right? We think in those terms.
Right.
And their poverty levels are much more severe. Right. Like American poverty, like people in other countries, they would love to have American poverty right. growing up. Right. Mm. Like, you know, they're
hot
looking.
Water.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So the Booster Club funds help us fund radio shows, help them get camp equipment, signs and things like that. You know, so it goes a long way. So make sure that you continue to support the Booster Club. All right. So before we jump in to the topic that I had, I want to go ahead and can we bring up the article? I got to bring this up, man. And so, no, before you defend, let's actually. So some of you might have seen this in the news. Some people maybe glazed over it. It does turn out that it was a Northern Kingdom sister that did this. Mm. All right.
The hell is this?
Our people can be really evil. I want to show the Instagram footage. So this is the young sister that I'll read the caption here. An 18-year-old mother, all right, I think her last name is Aviles or something like that, all right, in New Mexico. New Mexico's all jacked up.
Damn. 505.
Well, New Mexico's all jacked up, man. That's like Meth Central, right? Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah. It's coming out.
I know it's coming out here. That's like Meth Central over there. I remember seeing Gad over there in Northern Kingdom. They are jacked up. They are really jacked up. All right. So it says an 18-year-old mother is being charged with attempted murder and felony child abuse after discarding her newborn baby into a dumpster in New Mexico. So now if you just read the headline, it's like I've seen this before. Like I would see this. Growing up in New York City, at least once a year, there was somebody that dumped their kid in a dumpster or something like that, right?
Right.
So I think we kind of get desensitized to that. Like, we live in a society and a world where just kind of everything's...
Evil is just accepted.
Yeah, like we're numb to the evil.
Right.
Which is a dangerous thing as far as your repentance is concerned. You should never be numb to evil. Mm-hmm. But many of us, before we repented, were numb to the evil.
Right.
You know, you see it as we go out and try to teach our people. Some of you trying to go out and teach your family members and things like that. Mm-hmm. They're numb to the evil.
Right.
Where they'll see more evil in what we're doing and getting our lives right in repentance, right? Coming to Christ as an Israelite, all right, with Christ understanding the black Messiah. And they'll see more evil than that. Then, you know, they'll forgive the numbing and all that. I mean, I think we recently posted a class where I spoke about that, about the whole blood is thicker than water thing. Like, we'll let so much evil pass with family,
right?
And never get rid of that toxicity from our lives. Mm-hmm. But once you start repenting, man, they start saying you're weird, you're strange, mm-hmm. you're distant, all types mm-hmm. of stuff like that, you know, because you stop keeping Christmas with them.
Right.
You know. But the point being, we're numb to the evil. Right. So you read this and it's whatever. But the video, man, puts it into some perspective, man. And this thing, it got me sad and angry at the same time. So the baby was discovered still alive. All right. By three dumpster divers who happened to be foraging through the trash. So, you know, maybe they were homeless. Maybe they were just, you know, dumpster divers because they're in some level of poverty, but they have more compassion. And you'll see the guy when they found the baby than the mother who birthed the child.
Right.
And it says the mother told police she did not realize she was pregnant until one day before giving birth and panic. It's BS.
How do you not know that your daughter's pregnant?
Yeah, man. All right, so we're going to play the video for y'all. All right, we're going to play the video for y'all. Go ahead, play it. So this is her. Back seat. Pause. Damn, you got to go back a little bit. Can you go back? Are you able to? I know Instagram's weird. If you can't, don't worry. That bag that she tossed in there?
That's the child.
That's the newborn child.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's the newborn child that she threw in there like trash. We're going to read in the other article. I think it was like 36 degrees or something. Like it was freezing. What are you doing? No, don't worry about it. Don't try to go back. You're messing it up. Gosh. All right, went back anyway. Go ahead. Look, just casual.
Bro, the way she throws it, though.
Bro, like nothing. Like nothing. Look at it. Boom.
Already had a baby in a trash can or in a trash bag. Don't know if the baby suffocated.
Oh, read the other article. You got to see. It was two trash bags.
Crazy.
Two trash bags. Anyway, go ahead. So later that night, these dudes is there doing their thing, looking. They found the baby. Look, probably heartbroken. You see the guy. You can see the guy with the gray hoodie trying to comfort the child. The child was still alive.
I thought that was a woman.
No, that looked like a dude.
Yeah, that might be a woman.
Could be.
How you say, consoling the child.
Yeah, there, right? So then they show the cops there later, you know, investigating the scene and stuff like that. All right? All right. Cut that. So go to the article now. So now check this out. This is why I say the numbness to evil.
Right.
I don't know what you were planning to highlight today. Maybe we want to highlight that class at the end. About the family first, because it kind of goes with the opening that we did here.
I got you.
And getting rid of that toxicity, right? Mm-hmm. So the mother actually defends the wicked-ass ostrich that threw her grandbaby into the trash.
Right. Mm.
Actually defends it. I'm sorry, Ebo. Esau, I've said this before. Esau, for as evil as they are, for as much hatred as the Most High has for them,
mm-hmm.
The depths of their evil is not the same as ours, because we were made to be gods. We were made to be immortal and made to be righteous. Esau was made to be evil,
right. Mm-hmm.
From the womb.
Fitted for destruction
from the womb. In some respects, when you compare them to us, they're doing what God created them to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that are rebellious against our Creator. They actually not. They doing what they programmed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing what Esau programmed us to do. So the mother's defending this. So it says, New Mexico woman defends teen daughter accused of throwing baby in dumpster. Go ahead, scroll. It says, as New Mexico authorities are accepting non-monetary donations on behalf of a baby boy abandoned in a dumpster in the city of Hobbs and for other children under state care, the mother of the woman accused of abandoning him is telling, and I can't even believe that they put abandoning him. How about like attempting to murder
right.
the child?
Mm-hmm.
Abandoning him is leaving him on a doorstep somewhere.
At a fire department.
At a fire department right. or something like that. This isn't abandonment. This is attempted murder. All right. And I believe she's charged that way. So it says, the mother says, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Alexis Avila, 18, Northern Kingdom, has been charged with attempted murder and child abuse in connection with the incident, according to city police. She allegedly wrapped the baby in a blood-soaked towel. So apparently she gave birth and just the same towel that, so she didn't even go to the hospital.
Right.
Gave birth, took the baby in the same bloody towel, threw it, wrapped it up, right, and put it in two garbage bags. And then abandoned. I don't like that word. See how the media is? And then attempted to kill him in 36-degree weather with his umbilical cord still attached.
That's crazy.
Bro, that is so evil. Mm. Bro, my hair stand up. And this is why I talk about that numbness to evil of our people. That's why it's a big job that we have with what we put out, why we put it out, with the force and conviction that we use when we bring this stuff out. Because it's a big, you're trying to, when something's numb, in order to feel it, you got to break through with something that's going to break through that numbness.
Right.
Right? Something that's going to basically cut down to the bone and marrow, right? Like the scriptures tells you in Hebrews. And that's, yeah, let's bring it. And that's why the Bible speaks in that way. It has to be brought out forceful. You got to, it's like, you know, when somebody's freaking out, you've seen the movies and they slap them to bring them back to reality.
Yep. Get it together.
Get it together.
Right.
This is why we, because I'm telling you, that's one of the, but why are you guys like that? Why aren't you Joel Osteen-ing it? Why don't you Creflo Dollar deliver the message? Because of evil like this. So we got to be able to cut through that numbness, that desensitization that our people are under. Go ahead, read that.
This is the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12.
Hey, Mishael Israel said, I've been wanting to live. Hey, and I thought that, man. I know there's some brothers, man, that they've just been having daughters the whole time. You know, that's all of the Lord. But then it's also a little boy on top of that. How precious that is, because we know that. Listen, I love my daughter to death. My daughter's actually my firstborn. But the seed is in my son. The seed is in my son, baby boy, just boom. And notice, they don't mention, I don't know if when we read the rest of the article, they mention any potential father coming forward. Likely not. She probably hoeing around.
I think David was talking about there, because he was looking into it before we got here.
To see what's up, if a father pops in the picture
he
or something.
He mentioned something about the dad.
Yeah, I don't know how deep that goes, all right?
Well, she was only 18, so.
Oh, yeah, that's the excuse. Young. She was only 18. Right. She's still young.
Mm-hmm.
The hell out of here.
Right. Old enough to have a kid.
Right. Old enough to vote.
Right.
Right.
Buy cigarettes.
Buy cigarettes. Gamble.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Telling me you can't make decisions on that. Old enough to own a gun in some states.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can make those old enough to join the military, sign your contracts.
Die for your nation.
Right. And you can't discern.
Right.
Or be tried as an adult.
Right.
In court.
Hey, and yeah. I think that's set up pretty much nationally, right, where if it comes to that, they tell you drop them at a firehouse, right?
That was even in movies.
Right? They tell you at least you do that, and supposedly the firehouse is like no questions asked.
They'll take the child in.
Right, right, right. Which that's also terrible because now the child becomes like a ward of the state, right? And the system is woefully inept, especially when it comes to our people,
right?
So, but anyway, go ahead, read the scriptures.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword.
Right, so that's why the word of God needs to be that way. That's why it needs to be delivered. I don't know what these Christian pastors are talking about. I don't know what these other denominations are trying to do. Read that from the top again.
For the word of God is quick and powerful.
Quick and powerful. And you see, they can stop right there and they'll still try to mold it into their effeminate, sensitive, effeminizing, the effeminate white Jesus that they have, and mold quick and powerful into that and say it's powerful because it changes your life. But I always say this when it comes to the scriptures, and this is what I love about the scriptures. I used to love to read from like third grade up. I loved to read because I got burned. I'm going to digress for a story. It was a Secret Santa, and I got books for Secret Santa. So you can imagine being in third grade and you get freaking books. Everybody else had toys. They all in the classroom playing with their cool freaking toys. And I got books. But I remember over Christmas break, I read the hell out of them books. It was two Hardy Boys books. I won't forget it. And after that, I was just into books, right? I stayed reading and stuff like that. And all praises to the Most High. I think that was a spirit that the Lord put on me so that he could set up a zeal in me to want to read and do things like that. So I say all that to say what's beautiful about the scriptures compared to all these other books. That's not to say I don't occasionally read other books. I'm going to reference a book that we've been using the past several weeks on the show tonight.
Right.
Right? The mastery of the author of this Bible, which is the Most High through the spirit of men, righteous men, is that every word is succinct. Every word is in there with purpose. None of it is fillers to try to make a certain amount of pages in a book. None of it is to try to make a certain amount of words so they can get publishing rights or whatever it is, how it goes in that industry, all right? There's emphasis and power in all of that. So read it from the top again.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Ooh, and that cuts the whole Christian thing there when they try to come at you and say, oh, but you don't deliver it right. Your message is good, but you don't deliver it right. You guys are too aggressive. You guys are too forceful. Look at what we're fighting.
Right.
Look at the spiritual wickedness that we're fighting. Because you got to be spiritually wicked to deal with something like this. To take a child that, hey, and I've often said this. For a father, this is just me speaking. When your wife becomes pregnant, you're excited, but it's not the same as for the woman. The woman is growing and nourishing that child inside her. She's feeling things, experiencing things.
She's attached to it.
She's literally attached to that child. The cold, the dependency that that child has on the mother in the womb, right? The Most High set up the birth in such a deliberate way as well, and how it's structured and how it happens, right? Like reptiles have eggs, right?
Right.
So why did he make people have eggs? It sounds strange, right, to say that, because that's just the way nature is, right? I'll use that term for as a layman's term, right? They say, oh, well, you know, mammals don't lay eggs, but then you get the platypus. But then they say that's not a mammal, that's a marsupial, right? Esau trying to always put things together. But my point is the Most High was very deliberate in how he made these things.
Right.
And he makes the mother to hold that child, and he forms the wombs. I had to take embryology when I went to school for dental hygiene. It's an allied health field, so you'd be like, why do you got to take that? Well, I needed to learn the life cycle and how a child forms, because believe it or not, we had to know how the teeth start to form and when, and that's how the crazy cells are there from before. Wow. The baby. So even though the baby's toothless when he's born, right, unless there's some abnormality, the cells and the makings of that are there prior to that. I tell you, I've said it before. I'll say it 1,000 times before the Most High take me off this earth probably. All right. Science has not made me more distant from God. It makes me closer. It validates him more. It puts me more in awe of what the Most High has done. Science and the way they try to explain these things to me is just them trying to make this thing small so we can comprehend the spirituality creation and how it was done. But I had to learn because about the teeth, bro, like, right, and how it buds, and you know, like, at what stage in an embryo those cells and stuff are there.
They start to develop.
But, right, so, you know, they have the terms. It goes from a zygote to this to that, you know, so on and so forth. And the closeness that a mother should have, it's different for a man. Like I said, you're excited. You find out you're having a child, right? I remember when I found out my first child was going to be a daughter, I was kind of like,
yeah.
My wife was like, wow, I'm going to tell her. She said, I'm going to tell her. I said, damn, bro, I was so sure I was going to have a son. You know, because my older brother had sons, my younger brother had sons first. Yeah. So I figured, man, I'm about to, you know, my pops had three boys. So I figured, yeah, well, I'm about to pop out some boys.
Right.
Yeah. I had a girl. And I always say the Most High did that for a reason for me, right? But I didn't really feel the effects of my daughter until her head popped out the womb. That's how I look at it. And I don't know how it is for other men. I don't know how it was for you other fathers. But for me, that connection to my child didn't happen till she came out the womb.
Right.
And the same with my son. I was more excited because I knew I was having a boy finally.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen before a woman. But for a woman, and then to give birth to that, and then just toss it, wrap it in a bloody towel, throw it in not one but two garbage bags, like you had the foresight to say, I don't think one's going to be enough for this. Let me throw it in two. And then the trash?
Right. People could have thrown stuff on top of it. They could have – imagine if the dumpster truck would have came and actually just
dump the whole thing with the baby in it.
Oh, it could have been something that you would have never known, right? It could have been a situation that, nope, she would have got away with it.
Yeah, because she didn't go to the hospital.
Well, she would have got away with it in the sight of men.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God's not unjust. There's always judgment. You know, there's always judgment. But this is why. You see, and I'm going to tell you, I take a long emphasis because I got to let this thing sink in, man.
Right.
You got to sometimes, because I think even us sometimes, depending on where you're at in your walk, you desensitize to what you see. You desensitize to what you see. So the evil that was done here and the solution are these scriptures.
Right.
This is why we do what we do. And this is why it has to be the word of God that comes out to do that. And they say to us, why are you like this? Why are you so, why are you angry? Well, we're angry because of the evil that we see in the earth. We're the most precious thing in the sight of God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're desperately, there ain't no nation better than us. And he made it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the conditions that we're in and how we roll with stuff like this. Read that scripture again.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Right, so it's quick. It's powerful. Because that's what's going to break through to that numbness. And then he says, sharper than any two-edged sword. That you have to, because if you're numb, it's like, you know, they give you like some numbing. You're not going to feel the pain unless they cut deep. You got to cut deep through that evil. Come on.
Piercing, even to the dividing asunder.
Piercing. It's piercing. That means that's a stab,
mm-hmm.
right? That's going in.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when you see like the movies and they lunge in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pierce through. You got to pierce through the armor of wickedness that they have.
Right.
A lot of times we talk about the armor of righteousness and the whole armor of God. You don't realize the layers of wicked armor that you have on yourself from the conditioning of this earth.
Right.
Come on.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Ah, and here's the other thing. So not only does it pierce, but then it divides the soul and spirit. Read on.
And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
So not only is it a quick, powerful piercing,
mm-hmm.
but then it talks in detail about getting into the joints, into the marrow. That's also surgical. That's like a scalpel. So you have the skill with your sword where you cut through that numbness, and that's why you got to be there. And people say it's shock value or whatever it is, but that's what's needed to get through to our people. And you pierce through, and once you pierce through that, now you got to get surgical. Now you got to divide what's in there and find the thing that that person struggles with and deals with so you can hit home and plant that seed where it needs to be planted. And then God gives that increase. Read it again.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse 12.
For
the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
See, and that's the heavy part right there. This thing, that's what I say, it's quick, it's powerful, it's also surgical, because it's a discerner, meaning the word of God will literally slice you and dice you surgically and just straight up with a piercing through to get to the root of what evil really is inside of you so that you can then
remove it
from you,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like a cancer,
mm-hmm.
and you got to remove those evil things and remove those evil thoughts. That's why it says it has to discern. It has to discern. So the word of God, it forms many weapons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know how Iron Man, like his arm turned into a sword, mm-hmm. into a shield, and everything else?
Yeah.
That's how it is when you're dealing with the scriptures, and you're
That's
dealing with
right.
people. You start by stabbing them, then once you're in there, you get surgical with it. And then the discerning, and once you see that, it's like, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you could try to bring them out with the scriptures of that behavior for repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, you got this situation here. We're going to continue to read the article, all right? Maybe, you know, the Most High works in the way that he works. Somebody who might see the show who's dealing with that and won't do it.
Right.
Right? Maybe they'll come to repentance. They'll try to get their lives in order.
See the importance of the scriptures. I got. Can I
pull this up real quick, just so you can look?
Oh,
at it.
So the grandfather's fighting for custody. Okay, go ahead. Bring a scripture before we go back to the article. Go ahead.
Get a Sirach 17:16, because she's young. We were talking about the how she's 18, but she had a child. She was able to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Sirach, chapter 17:16. Every man from his youth is given to evil.
And that's what Captain was bringing out. We have to understand that every man or woman is from their youth is given to evil. We are given to evil by default. Read.
Neither could they make to themselves fleshly hearts for stoning?
That is a stony heart to be able to take your child, throw it in a dumpster alive, wrapped in blood. And it came out of your own body.
Hey, and you saw the way she did it, bro. Just like nonchalant, like casual.
Yeah,
she was just taking out the trash from the crib.
That's the part that killed me about it. Like, man.
Just nothing.
Reached into the back seat, grabbed the double bag, and
swung it. Swung it. Show it again.
Crazy.
Just up to the part where she tosses the baby. Swung it.
Bro, she had it wrapped in the back seat before.
In a bloody towel and two garbage bags.
And she didn't wait till nighttime. She didn't wait till it got dark.
She did it. She did it in the daytime. She did it in the daytime.
She is wicked as hell.
She figured, it's a little alley. Damn. Nobody going to see me. The eyes of God are 10,000 times brighter than the sun.
Right.
Most
high
sees that thing. They saw fit to put it on our spirits to bring it out for the show.
Wow.
Damn, that's a stony heart, bro. But you got to think about that. Two bags. I mean, she went, she put in a bag, and her mind was so convinced and persuaded of what she was going to do. This bag not enough. I'm going to throw another bag on that thing.
Right. It's like at the grocery store, you double bag the groceries.
Yeah.
It might fall out.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn, evil as hell. Let's go back to the article. Hey, someone said she swung it like it was relief. That's exactly what happened. As that thing went up, and in that moment where she was releasing her grip on it, and it starts to fly out her hand, relief. Relief in her wicked self.
Mm.
So it says the elder Avila, her mother, all right, defended her. It says her mother defended her. Let me get Jeremiah 2:33. And where's the other one? I'm sorry, no. Get Ezekiel 16:44 first. And then Jeremiah 2:33.
You want to get Jeremiah?
Yeah, I got Jeremiah.
You said Ezekiel 16 and...
44. So the mother's defending her. So hold on. It says people can preach all they want. They can judge all they want, but we only care about the judgment of one. Yeah, your God, the devil.
Right.
Because she's trying to go through that. Bro, and this goes to show you how... Damn, I'm about to drop an F-bomb. It's going to show you how freaking dumb our people are. How sottish our people are, that in her mind, because that's that Christian, only God can judge me.
Right.
This goes to show you how dumb she is and how our people have no knowledge when it comes to God. We're wise to do evil, but not to do righteousness. You think God's all right with that judgment?
Right.
That you're going to defend her? Because that's what she's saying. She believes that white Jesus is going to forgive her of that evilness.
Justify evil.
Man, oh man, oh man. So it says people can preach all they want. They can judge all they want, but we only care about the judgment of one. She thinks she's talking about the judgment of God. She's talking about the judgment of the devil. All right?
Bruh.
Read that scripture.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 44. Behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter.
As is the mother, so is her daughter. They are on one mind and one accord in this evilness. Let me get that one in Jeremiah.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 33.
This goes into that toxic thing, and we're going to highlight the class at the end. We do the weekly highlight. We'll show you a spotlight of an IUIC Phoenix class, all right? I had to go over that class. It was in my spirit about this toxicity of family. Like, we're raised to just take crap from your family, no matter how evil it is. And I understand reasonable things, right? The scripture guides us on what we're supposed to do and how we maneuver with each other, right? But then you got unbelieving, unrepenting family members, right? And they come with this whole, and you got to deal with this toxicity. But it's teaching contrary to what the scriptures say. Read this, Jeremiah 2:33.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 33. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love?
Because that's essentially what happens. And it's so bad that it's to the point that we don't even realize what we're trimming our way. The way that we're trimming is our way into that straight and narrow gate.
Right.
That path that you read of in 2nd Ezra, where it says fire on one side, water on the other, and only one can walk through. It says, why are you going to trim your way? Why are you going to make your walk harder to seek love? Read on.
Therefore, Hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways?
Hey, it's going, because who's the wicked? The heathen, mm-hmm. first and foremost, right? We also can be wicked as well. When we talk about them wicked ones, it's talking about them heathen, right? It says, therefore, hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways? We're so bad and so wicked that we teach them evil by our actions.
Right.
That's why we're that astonishment to them that you read about in Deuteronomy 28. That byword and that proverb and byword to them.
The shaking of the head.
The shaking of the head.
Mm-hmm.
They look at us and they're like, damn. And not to say that they ain't some of them that do this type of stuff either.
Right.
But listen, the scripture telling us we teaching them. Why? All because we're trying to maintain some sort of familial bond, trying to seek some sort of affection from somebody in whatever regard that is. So it says she also doubled down on the claim that her daughter didn't know she was pregnant, which police said the young, you know, and you know, she know damn well because she gave birth to her and who knows how many other kids that her daughter knew she was pregnant.
But don't you miss your period
right.
for the whole nine months when you're not
Right. See, bro, bro, and you're a man and you make it more sense.
Exactly.
How do you have a child? Like you have a life inside of you and you don't notice nothing different.
Bro, or you stop your menstrual for 9 months and you don't realize. Or 10 months, whatever it is. It says, which police said the young woman told investigators when they brought her in for questioning, and she allegedly admitted to the crime. During that same interview, police said she only referred to the child as it. Wow.
Mm.
It's like Stephen King, it.
Mm.
She only referred to the child as it. As for the baby boy, a group of good Samaritans stumbled across him and rescued him from the dumpster. He is in stable condition at a hospital in Lubbock, Texas, and in the lawful custody of the New Mexico Children, Youth, and Families Department. According to Hobbs Acting Police Chief August Fons, he said he could not release additional details Monday due to confidentiality concerns. The child's father is believed to be a teen from Hobbs, whose identity police did not release because he is under 18. All right, so they found the pops. Martha Avila told Hobbs police that she had banned her daughter's ex from visiting their house because he allegedly battered her daughter in June, according to a criminal complaint. Even if she doesn't want custody, she should be caring enough about her grandbaby to be saying, no, he's an abusive boyfriend, and I don't want him to have custody. So now the father could possibly try to get custody. A local store owner whose surveillance cameras captured the incident and drew national attention Monday. An NMCYFD spokesperson says she cannot comment on individual cases due to state privacy rules. Embraye also questioned the Avila's timeline of events, which included a January 4th doctor's visit for prescription pain meds, according to court documents. If they did that, wouldn't they have done a pregnancy test on a girl that young, he asked? There's a lot of holes in her story. Embraye's surveillance video shows a woman tossing a garbage bag into a dumpster and a group of people finding a baby inside almost 6 hours later. She's trying to defend her daughter. Why doesn't she stop shouting her mouth off and take ownership of how she raised her daughter? Embraye told Fox Digital News,
thanks.
Stop trying to protect her now. You screwed up. You raised a terrible daughter. That's basically it.
As the mother, right? So is the daughter.
That's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get me that. Is it Ciroc?
What are you looking for?
I posted it in the group, the scripture. Is Ciroc 16?
Godly children.
16 and 1.
And the reason we're bringing these scriptures to tell you, if you live by this, you avoid stuff like this, right? Ciroc 16 and 1, right?
The book of Ciroc, chapter 16, verse 1.
Freedom!
Desire not a multitude of unprofitable children, neither delight in ungodly sons.
And that means that it goes for daughters as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's even this unbelieving guy is saying here, right? Hey, you raised a terrible daughter.
Mm.
Just acknowledge it, that she's ungodly, that she's evil.
Right.
Come on, read.
Though they multiply, rejoice not in them.
You don't rejoice in them. See, there's another one. I don't know if I brought this out when I did the family class or not. I was trying to be quick because it was a feast night. But this even goes into that. Shows you how you deal with ungodly, whether or not they're your blood.
Right.
Come on.
Except the fear of the Lord be with them.
It says, don't rejoice with them except the fear of the Lord be with them. Now, if that's your children, you don't think that applies to other family members? And I'm not saying, listen, I went over this in the class, all right? If you care to watch it, when we highlight it, you go into it. I'll show you how to navigate that because you don't know if they might repent, certain family members and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the scripture tells you when you're among the indiscreet, right?
Observe the time.
Means don't spend too much time in that scenario. Read on. Listen what else it says about this. Come on.
Trust not thou in their life, neither respect their multitude. For one that is just is better than a thousand,
And better it is to die without children than to have them that are ungodly.
Man, that's how serious the Most High takes that whole thing when you're trying to deal with trimming your ways to seek love, family first. He says it's better that you don't have kids than to have ungodly ones.
You would think it's cold, but even in is that Esdras where he says the those that were born in vain?
Yes.
It's like 2 Esdras 6. He talks about there's people that are born in vain just because of the life that they lead, the decisions they make.
2 Esdras 9 and 22. Right. That's why it says don't desire the ungodly. Go ahead. Bring it out.
Book of 2 Esdras, chapter 9, verse 22. Let the multitude perish then, which was born in vain.
It just talked about the multitude of ungodly children. The same multitude right here that's going to perish that was born in vain are those that are ungodly. They don't fear the Lord. They're not keeping God's laws.
And let my grape be great. Let my grape be kept and my plant. For with great labor have I made it perfect.
And that's what the Lord's doing right now. He's making us perfect in his sight. We know that we fall short every day. There's areas that we can continue to get better with. But we are improving and we're growing into that perfection, the height and stature of Christ. Mm-hmm. But that multitude that's born in vain is those that are doing acts like this.
Right.
And there's no remorse about it. There's no compassion. No care for life.
Yeah, and you said that, right? You said the law is what makes us perfect. Let's prove that. Psalms 19 and 7. You might have people listening that don't understand this, right? Remember, I got to remind myself sometimes we'll quote a scripture, but then we don't necessarily go there. I'm saying we got to go to every one, but let's make the connection because somebody say, no, that's not talking about the laws, right? Psalms 19 and 7.
The book of Psalms, chapter 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
That's that perfection that we're seeking. The law of the Lord will prevent something like this.
Right.
The law of the Lord is what gives you that perfection. It converts the soul. That's the word of God.
Right.
Dividing asunder, right? Discerner of the thoughts. Cutting into the soul, into the joints and the bones and the marrow.
Mm.
And then it changes that thing, right? Because now you pull out that cancer, okay? And you're able to heal from that, and you're converted.
Mm-hmm.
You went from sickly on a road to death, and a slow and painful one in most cases, right, to a conversion into righteousness, into perfection. Read on.
Right.
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
That's sure. Not counsel, not Dr. Phil, not Oprah, whatever else you lean on for advice. It says the testimony of the Lord is sure. Come on.
Making wise the simple.
Bringing you to understanding because we all simple.
Right.
We were all in simplicity, each and every one of us. And it's these commandments that enlighten you. That's what makes you illuminated. That's what brings you to that place of perfection, all right? Daily, minute by minute, moment by moment. It's not a one-time thing and you're a Super Saiyan or, you know, you're transformed into Voltron or whatever it is.
Right.
And you're straight. You have to maintain that state. Just like you maintain the state of this world and your wickedness and your evil ways, right? You have to maintain the state of righteousness.
That's right.
All
right,
so that's it on that. That's it on that. That's tragic, unless y'all have something else. Oh, I do got one more. Is it Ezekiel 13? This is what the scripture says, 13. Especially when it comes to these women, because none of the women in this article were talking sense. It was the men, right? It was the men. And listen, I'm not talking about you godly, repenting sisters. Y'all see the wrong in this, all right? But many of our people, obviously, clearly, this sister being Northern Kingdom, are into this madness. This is why the scripture says this. All right.
Book Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 17. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people.
We have to set our face against the daughters of our people. And the reality behind that, and this is going to help me nicely segue back into this talk, right? I don't want to change the show topic again. I spent more time on this than I thought I would. All right?
Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. Because I am dealing with the men. But the men need to understand the reason we got to set our face against the daughters and the men.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible makes a specific mention of setting the face against our daughters is because they have been targeted for very specific programming to disrupt what the Most High is trying to build. They think they can. It's a fixed fight. So we know that their devices of the crafty, right, are not going to prevail. It's going to come to naught. But why would it come to naught? Because we have a position to play.
That's right.
Like we brought that out. We brought it out last week. We brought it out the week before, where it shows you what how you show yourself to be a man. And it comes from application of the commandments, teaching your people, right? Going out and doing that. And very distinctly, it says, you got to set yourself against the daughters of thy people.
Right.
Because they're targeting that support system, right? Because that's the role that the woman played. The woman was created for the man, to support the man, to be a helpmeet to him. So they figure, hey, let's eliminate that from the picture. Let's eliminate that from the picture. And he says, set your face against them. Come on.
Which prophesy out of their own heart.
Right. Oh, we only care about the judgment of one. She didn't know she was pregnant. You don't understand the decisions that that people got to make.
Right.
Oh, right.
And other madness.
She made a mistake.
Right. And other madness. Come on.
Crazy.
And prophesy thou against them.
And it says we must prophesy against them, meaning they got to get special mention. Mm. They got to get special mention. And, well, we're dealing with all Israel, but it says the daughters of our people got to get a special mention.
Right.
Right. So anyway, let's switch gears. Let's switch gears. We've been going over this book, right? Show the title. So the topic, from boys to men. This is why we got a heavy job that we got to do. And it's the talk every Black and Latino male and Native American needs to have children. All right. Hard times create strong men, right? And I said I have a little twist on this as we reference this book. Prophetic times, the latter days create strong men. If you're about these commandments, you create strong Israelite men by using the word of God, like we just brought out, because that's what's spiritual. That's what we have to roll with. That's where we left off last week, right? That was the last thing. Okay, go to the next one. So. This I had seen this book, it resonated to me. I said, "Damn, that's a strong title." I said, "Let me look at this." Right? And it's funny because it wasn't until the truth that I ever really thought about being a strong man. Because you don't really think about it because the world has you numb.
You think you already are a strong.
You think
man.
You already are.
Yeah.
You think you already are, and we have it woefully misapplied. Not to say that you know men. Right, men naturally more muscle mass, we're stronger in this regard and things like that. But it's not the bravado.
We confuse anger and pride with
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We confuse anger and pride. And where do we direct it? We direct it at each other.
Right.
Wild bulls in the net, like the scripture tells us, right?
Right.
So we think that's strength. We think that that's the way that we should roll. But strength really is going into there's things in this book that he speaks about. And things that we brought out over the past few weeks in regards to the show, all right? So it's really critical that we look at what that strength is. We have to build that foundation for our young men, and we have to stop this cycle because you're always being programmed. Whether passively or actively, you're always being programmed. It's like that movie Minority Report, right, where he's, like, escaping from them, right, when he's on the lam. And they have the technology that scans the eyes, and everywhere there's stuff that'll call your name. They scan your eye, and it'll call your name and specifically speak to you in the advertising and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that now. You're constantly being programmed.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me no. And then why, when you're scrolling through Facebook, it starts to recommend videos like, damn, I do need to buy that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I did want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
They start to create their algorithms.
Of what you want before you want it.
Before you even realize what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Before you, hey, I've said it before, that movie Ex Machina, there's a quote in there. There's I forgot his name, Isaacs is the guy. And I believe he's Northern Kingdom, that dude. And he's basically supposed to be like the Google in that movie. And he has like a reporter come in to try to do some scientific test on this artificial intelligence that he made. And he was saying, you know, we thought that it was telling us with all this information with search engines what people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really told us, right, is how they were thinking,
mm-hmm.
which is much more powerful than what people wanted. Because if you know how they are thinking, that's when you're going to present things to them that they didn't even know that they wanted yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't even potentially know what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a lot further. I might be butchering it, right? It's been a long time since I've seen it, all right? But it was along those lines. And he says, with that data, I was able to take all that and create an artificial intelligence that'll fool you into caring for it.
Mm.
And if you think about it, it's not too far off, man, because you see how people are with their phones, mm-hmm. right? Because you would say, damn, man, I'm not going to have affection for a computer, right? And that's exactly what winds up happening in the flick. He gets fooled by the machine into caring for it. He winds up falling in love with the machine. It's a wild flick. It's a wild flick. It's one of those, bro, like if you're cerebral a little bit, like if you like thinking about this mm-hmm. stuff, bro, it'll put you in a frame of mind. I saw it when I was in The Truth, but I would like to see it again now that I feel like, you know, I have a little better grasp spiritually mm-hmm. and see what else I see in it. Maybe I will use it and do a commentary. I don't know. I'll see if I have time and I'll watch it and stuff like that.
What movie is it?
Ex Machina. Ex Machina. Good movie. Good movie.
I'm gonna check that out.
Good movie. I think it was a good movie. It's a jacked up ending, boy. It's cold. Mm-hmm. It's cold. I ain't going to spoil it for you. I'm just going to say it's cold, bro. It's cold. Anyway, so, you know, tell me that we're not programmed. We're programmed all the time. Mm-hmm. You think that your thoughts are even your own and they're not. And that's the great trick. That's the crafty counsel. Mm-hmm. So that crafty counsel has so many layers to it. In two words, you read that in Psalms 83 about the crafty counsel,
mm-hmm.
that they can keep a people hidden and have the whole world believe it as well,
mm.
even though there's records and stuff like that to the contrary. The strategy that they employed, which was all for God's will, right? We had to go through the curses the way
part
he told
us
punishment. To. Yeah. Part of our punishment, which right. is just. But that crafty counsel has so many layers, and we don't even realize that we're being programmed until you're pulled out of the matrix,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll go back to, again, not the last one, that crap yeah, of a last right. movie, all right, which explains a lot. Like I said, the director, you know, confused as hell, so-called transgender, mm-hmm. all right? I say that because in this book we read a verse where he said, hey, if you basically got a penis and testicles,
he said,
you're a man, or at least a male, right?
Right, right.
But he says, we live in a world where you can wake up and decide from one day to the next, mm-hmm. you know, whether I'm this or I'm that, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's programming. For you to wake up and go against the innate way that God programmed you, mm-hmm. that you can actually look down and see you have the anatomy of what is supposed to be a male, a man,
mm-hmm.
right? And still say that that's not what you are. And then to have our people buying into that BS and you see your child, when you went to the doctor and he came out the womb, he told you by looking at the genitals, whether it was male or female, and you're telling me you're not programmed that you say, no, don't assign a gender to him yet. No. You're being oppressive.
Mm. Let it decide. Right.
And they don't even see the coldness in that.
Mm.
But there's people. Some of our people in the world today calling their child it until their child can try to decide for themselves what gender they want to be.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
the sister that threw her baby in the trash called the baby.
Yes, baby. Yes. But so the layers, the levels of this stuff, man,
mm-hmm.
it's hard times. And we ain't got no time for weak men. We need strong men, men that are going to gird up their loins, men who are going to stand up against the evildoers. The spiritual wickedness in high places in these last days. Remember, the scripture said, except there be a remnant, we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
That remnant, what that scripture doesn't tell you is the strong Israelite men that are going to stand for the Most High, that are going to be there to be that light in the dark place to wake us up out of that programming, to wake us up out of that programming. So this author, he has some very good points. I look at his stuff. I say, man, this is pretty powerful stuff. I said, I'm going to use this. I think I bought this book like a year ago. I said, I'm going to use this. But I'm not even into the chapters yet. I'm still dealing with like the foreword and the preface
right.
over the past few weeks.
Come on, man.
I want to break it down into the different topics that he talks about, right? We're going to deal with sex. We're going to deal with women.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deal with brothers and how they speak to women. Mm-hmm. You know, if a brother's having a struggle, spitting game, mm-hmm. right? And I don't even like to say game because you look at that, if it's not in righteousness and it's just somebody trying to be, it comes off deceitful when you say that. But being able to speak to a woman so that, you know, she can see your better qualities.
Right.
And so that you can gauge her, right? Like the quote said, if you treat her like a celebrity, she's going to treat you like a fan.
That thing was cold.
So there's a lot that goes into this talk. So we got to continue on and break this down. And like I said, you know, it's always open to in the news. Like today, I did the article. I think last week I did an article. So, you know, I mean, but I try not to do the whole show on that because I feel that this message has to go out. I think it needs to be documented. I think it's a strong series, and it has some good reference in kind of so-called layman's terms, right? In a simple vernacular that for someone who's not repenting might be able to be pulled in and understand that, right? So he says, begin each day by telling yourself, today I shall be meeting with interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness. All of them due to the offender's ignorance of what is good or evil.
That's heavy. That, man.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, no, don't.
He just said we're trying to marinate with the preface and everything we reading, bro. Come on now.
Who's on the queue? Is that so, David?
Come on, man.
Is that Soldier David?
I'm trying to let this thing marinate.
Is that you, Ashaya?
No, it's David.
My brother said, okay, next. Like,
just come on. He ain't marinating in nothing.
Yeah, he ain't marinating.
We're going to have to go out there and have a session with him. We're going to have to talk with Soldier David.
He right. needs some
Bishop
milk.
Yalisa, we got to get the butter on the biscuit.
Yeah, we got to get the butter on the biscuit, man. Come on. What happened? Did you just say something? Oh, I thought he said something.
No, I was saying it's Soldier David.
Oh, you said that already. He's trying to take the blame off of him. He's trying to take the blame off of him. No, I just want you to know. I said it's Soldier David. Damn, bro, his guy. Hey, so, okay, they credit this quote to Marcus Aurelius, right? So we know that that's Edom. He was that. He's supposed to be, I think, remember the movie Gladiator, the one that died?
Yeah.
The emperor that died?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be him. But think about this biblically, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, remember, I said, you got a counsel program. So this is part of the talk that we got to have with our children.
Right.
But from reference of the scriptures, and we brought out some scriptures up until this point, and all these things we got to bring into play with that. And he says, begin each day by telling yourself, this is stuff that we need to continually tell ourselves and teach our young men. Right. Today I shall be meeting with interference. You live in a world that every single thing that's been constructed in that world, whether they tell you, whether you can see it yet or not, is designed against you. Now, this particular author is talking about all men, but we need the specificity of understanding that all this agenda is against the Israelites.
That's right!
This agenda is against us. This effort, this concerted effort, these different mechanisms that they've deployed against us, these different devices, these crafty counsels that they've put against us, is all for us. Every decision they make is with us in mind and how to keep us hidden, how to keep us asleep. Mm-hmm. And it says, so you're going to be met with interference. You're going to try to live God's way. You're going to try to live holy, perfectly. And from the minute you open your eyes, you are going to be met with interference. Mm-hmm. Interference in the media, interference in the school system, interference from worldly friends, interference at work,
in your home with your
interference
wife.
In your home, right? Mm-hmm. Matthew 10, God said, I come with a sword. Right. To set a man at variance against those of his own household. Mm-hmm. Interfere. And it's not like we're not warned. The Bible gives us clear guidance on that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we just have this emphasis with our young men of just make sure you're wearing your fringes. And up to a certain age, that's all you can deal with them. Mm-hmm. But like you read in Exodus, right, when they start to say, hey, what mean do you by these? Mm-hmm. Which chapter and verse is that? We were just talking about that on Saturday because somebody asked me about that. Is it Exodus 16?
I think it's Deuteronomy 6.
No, it's not Deuteronomy.
Where it's like the
nope, we just went over on Saturday. It's not Deuteronomy. It's not Deuteronomy. What mean you by these?
Mm-hmm.
Is it 18?
It's Exodus 12 and 26.
Exodus 12 and 26. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah, it's not Deuteronomy. I know it's Exodus because we just spoke about it on Saturday when I was here with the captains. Exodus 12 and 26, right? Go ahead.
Sorry, read. 25 or read?
No, just read 26 because it basically he was saying when you come into the land, remember to tell them all these things, right?
Yes,
you got to teach this to your children, right? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 26.
Read out!
And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?
Now, he was specifically speaking about the Passover here, right? Read just the beginning of the next verse.
That ye shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover.
Right. And he goes on to say who passed over in Egypt for us. Like, you're supposed to teach him that. Mm-hmm. But if it applies to that, that means that it applies to everything as we enlighten our children.
Right.
And they're going to say, what mean ye by this? Why do we wear fringes? My son's five. He hasn't really asked. It's just something that he does. He was raised that way. From when he had no sense to speak, he had fringes on. Mm-hmm. So he didn't understand what it was. I went through that with my daughter now that she's 10, and she got to an age where she started to ask those questions, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And she had that sense. And I said, okay, same thing with the fasting. We say, hey, that's up to you mm-hmm. as a parent, mm-hmm. but we say they should at least understand what they're fasting for. If not, you're just starving them.
Right?
That's how the scripture first came out, as it was taught to us years ago. Mm-hmm. It says, hey, when they have the age of understanding. Some children are a little more perceptive than others at an earlier age. Mm-hmm. So you go through that. But we have to realize that as we teach them this message, that it's not just the fringes and everything else. You got to let them know that this whole world is set up against them mm-hmm. on the regular, on the daily. Mm-hmm. It says you're going to be met with interference, son. Mm-hmm. Ingratitude. Mm-hmm. You are not going to be appreciated. You might have moments where you feel like you are. Mm-hmm. Friends and women will make you feel like you're something special and great. Mm-hmm. And not to be so pessimistic, but it's better to give them that and let them adjust to it than to send them out into the world thinking that everybody's going to have pity for them when they cry.
Right.
See, that's why I'm like with my son, I'm trying to find a balance. Like, he want to cry for stupid stuff. This morning, I'm getting him ready. I told him, I'm going to come out the restroom. I said, we're going to get your teeth brushed, right? And then we're going to leave. Stay here. He went downstairs. Mm-hmm. So I'm calling him when I come out and he's not there. He's crying. What the hell are you crying for? Mm-hmm. You're being mean to me. I said, I'm not being mean to you. I told you to be up here. And he's crying. I said, you better stop them tears. I said, I tell you, you cry for real things. Mm-hmm. I don't say don't cry mm-hmm. as a man. There's things that you're going to cry for, right? Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wept. I cry at movies.
Right.
So I tell him, I said, and he's like, I'm trying to stop him, man. And let me tell you, I mean, I love the hell out of my son. So in that moment, man, I'm like, damn, man, you know, I just want to hug him and comfort him. I'm like, no.
Right.
Stand firm.
I got to stand firm mm-hmm. because he's going to deal with ingratitude and mm-hmm. interference.
Right.
There's cold people that don't give a crap about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's heavy, too, because it's the job of a man, of a father, to be able to prepare our children.
Yes.
For these things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Women play a role with them up to a certain point mm-hmm. and up to certain actions. Fathers even have clearly a role with the daughters. Yeah. Tells you that, have a care of her, yep. right? Marry thy daughter.
Wake up at night for right? the care of her.
Right, yep. right. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, the women tend to deal with the daughters more because they got to teach them things about how to love their husband and all that, right? Mm-hmm. This is why it's so important that you sisters, you got to be on point with your husband, because whether you're actively teaching your children or not, you're teaching your children.
Right.
Teaching your children.
And then being on the same judgment when the father is actually disciplining the children.
Right. You know what? We can't teach this Bible like you learn how to drive. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. To pass the test for the DMV, you're doing everything by the book. And then you get out on the road, and you ain't doing none of that stuff.
Right.
That's not so when it comes to the scriptures.
The hell is this?
That's a do what I say, not as I do type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that goes for both sides, right? That goes for both sides. But the man has such a particular role for the young men, mm-hmm. especially nowadays where it's just so accepted of this cycle of, oh, the marriage rate is 50% divorce. And, you know, like it's just so normalized.
Right.
I often reminisce and speak about also how, you know, hey, when my pops left when I think I was 5, 6, I did see him again later in life. And it was not normal. Around that time, you know, you're talking about early 80s, right? It wasn't really normalized yet to have a step pop, mm-hmm. for your pops not to be up. So it was like an embarrassment for me mm-hmm. to talk about that stuff, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't normal, right? Now it's become normalized. Baby daddies, baby mamas, all this other stuff. And that creates such an instability when it comes to us, when it comes to our people specifically. Mm-hmm. Because God set a very distinct order for us compared to the other nations. Mm. He set up other things for them, idolatry and all this other stuff. That's all for them. That's not for us. In the kingdom, all of it's going to be for them. But in this present world, that's for them. So it says, We got to be able to teach our children interference, ingratitude, insolence. That's not a normal word for people. Let's look that up. I should have had you prepared for that.
And you know it says begin each day by telling yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's that. That's the Rock 2-in-1.
Bring it out.
Because every day we wake up, I mean, we need to prepare ourselves for all of the things that he listed right there. These are all things that we deal with as a nation and individually as well.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou come to serve the Lord.
If we are in the nation of Israel, we are coming as men to serve the Lord. Right?
Prepare thy soul for temptation.
We have to prepare ourselves for temptation. All of those things that were in that quote right there are temptation. He was talking about insolence, ingratitude, all of the things that you're going to experience as a man of Israel in this world that is contrary to everything that God has established.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy, heavy,
that
heavy.
Was heavy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Insolence. Let's look up the definition. The quality or state of being insolent. Oh, my goodness. Click on insolent. I hate when they do that with definitions, right? Insultingly contemptuous in speech or conduct, right? Exhibiting boldness. So he says you're going to face insolence, meaning you're going to see things contrary to what I've taught you, what God says is right, and people are going to tell you that it's not, right? In their speech, in their conduct, you're going to see other boys as wild bulls in nets. You're going to see girls in manners that you don't normally see them and what you're accustomed to in this walk. Hey, and I got to tell you something. Even if you're not yet in repentance, see, this is the type of stuff that this is why we have this vicious cycle with our people. The answer is in these scriptures on how we fix these things, not political activism, not all this stuff of normalizing this type of behavior and these actions. What we got to normalize is God's way and God's righteousness amongst our people. And that's what we seek to do. And we seek to do that fervently. We seek to do that with vehemency.
Right.
And people look at us like, oh, y'all just angry. You're angry at the white man.
Angry black man.
No, we're actually angry at ourselves and y'all.
Right.
That's right.
Because it's because of our ways. It's for us turning against the pact that the Most High made with us when he brought us out of Egypt. That's why we're angry. Sure, we're angry at them too. But we know that our God is just and he got a judgment for them. So it's kind of like almost, yeah, they're going to get theirs.
Right.
But only if we do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to delay that. It's a fixed fight. All we got to do is just apply what he told us to do. And guess what? As hard as it may seem initially, it certain things get easier as other things get harder. I'll put it that way. So it might have seemed hard at first to give up the Friday nights and the Saturdays or whatever you did. And then it becomes abnormal when you're not able to be around the brothers, when you're not able to fellowship, right? When you're not able to do those things. It's abnormal when you're not wearing the fringes.
Right?
It's abnormal. Look how quick, if a brother trim his thing down too low, we're all like, what the hell happened to this brother?
Right?
Especially brothers of us that was in the struggle with the beard.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that shit and you're like mad as hell.
Right.
Like, damn, man, no, I let my thing grow and grow if that's the case.
What you said too is that it's the Rock 4 where wisdom turned back unto him and became a defense. It starts to defend you. You actually start finding comfort in what at one point was fetters is now a defense.
Right. Hey, that's a heavy point. Right? So you let that thing be your fetters at first. You let that thing weigh heavy on you, right? Mm-hmm. And that word of God does its work.
Right.
Pierce you, right? Mm-hmm. Discern inside of you. Go to the joint and marrows and then find it and then discern what's there. And then if you open to it, Most High will open up your understanding and you'll realize a thing and you'll change. Mm-hmm. And you'll change, right? Let's see. Is there another definition of insolence? Maybe something a little better. Impudent. Hey, impudent's good, bro. It's click on impudent. I'm sorry. Click on impudent. Because that goes exactly with what, there we go. Marked by contemptuous or cocky boldness or disregard of others. Look at an obsolete term, lacking modesty. That's why I said you can apply those words to these scriptures. We got to tell ourselves and our sons, you're going to go out into a world that lacks modesty, that lacks the perfection of these scriptures. And that doesn't mean you conform to the status quo, right? Romans 12 and 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, son, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind day by day and moment. That renewing happens day by day. Paul said, I die daily. That's the renewing of that mind day by day. That transformation is not fixed because there's always programming. And if you don't counter program, you're going to fall. Mm-hmm. You're going to fall into it, right? That when we went to Impudent, that was good. You could go back. Go back to the book. What time is it? Okay, we're doing all right. So it says, listen, we got to begin each day. We got to tell ourselves, I should be meeting with interference. Everything out there is against this Bible, mm-hmm. right? The turning of things upside down. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Mm-hmm. Ingratitude, right, of your own people. You out there teaching them. You out there bringing them something so precious that they don't realize, in many cases, what it is. Mm-hmm. Ingratitude as a man.
The hell is this?
Ingratitude just because you're a so-called black or Latino man. Insolence, we went over that. Disloyalty. Any loyalty that you have from anybody that's not rooted in these scriptures, see, that's why it's such an offense when you have a disloyal brother after having come to the knowledge of understanding in this war. Mm-hmm. The Bible commands us to love the brotherhood, to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity. So disloyalty is a severe, treacherous thing in the sight of the Most High. Because for you to have seen and at one point supposedly understood that everything in this earth is against us and you will go against those people who realize that, as we're supposed to stand back to back. And instead you turn around and stab in the back. Disloyalty. Ill will. Just by the nature of who we are, you will walk out into this earth and have ill will. And selfishness. Everybody will be driven by selfishness and self-serving attitudes. Can we look up the definition of self-serving? I like the one in dictionary. You'll have to probably put a hyphen in between it. Self-serving. Yep, there you go. Preoccupied with one's own interest. Everybody seeking after their own lust. Everybody seeking their own desires. Right? Preoccupied with one's own interests, often disregarding the truth or the interest, well-being of others. You see that. We live that every single day, serving to further one's own selfish interests. You were thinking of a scripture, soldier?
2 Timothy 3.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. Yeah, go ahead, bring it out. Bring it out.
Book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 1.
Bring it out!
This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Hey, so it's basically saying the same thing of what we read.
Yeah.
Remember, I said the book said hard times create strong men. But that's not really true, especially when it comes to our people. So we need to show them biblically it's saying those same things. Come on.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Self-serving. Serving to further one's own selfish interests. Preoccupied with one's own interest. And all these things that he's going to read falls into this. Come on.
Covetous.
That goes into self-serving. Come on.
Boasters. Proud.
Right, because they're only concerned about their own thing. Remember, that even goes into insolence. Come on.
Blasphemers.
Because they will say that what we're doing is wrong. We'll be seen as evil for what was going on here. Come on.
Disobedient to parents.
Oh, because that's another thing that's part of this talk. There's so many layers to this. I can't cover it in one episode of this show. Hell, I may not be able to cover it in 6 months of a once-a-week show as you go through each aspect of this. I'll see how long I'm able to maintain this, how long the Spirit moves us on this particular topic. Like I said, there's a lot of book in there, and there's sure a lot of book in here in this Holy Bible, right? Come on.
Unthankful. Unholy.
Hey, go back to take the definition off. Mm-hmm. Put up for me... The piece from the book here, ingratitude.
Mm-hmm.
That goes into the unthankful. Ingratitude, right? Unholy. Come on.
Without natural affection.
Hey, and that goes to the example I gave, like just with my son this morning, mm-hmm. right? And I say, man, the world's not going to have sympathy on him.
Mm.
There might be people that do, but it's not. So you got to give them those hard lessons, right? It says the wounds of a friend is better that it comes from the parents. That comes from the parents, mm-hmm. that you show them that stuff, that you're that way. Scripture talks about holding in your daughter straightly, mm-hmm. right? With the emphasis on the son, but it carries over to the daughters as well. It should not be taken like, hey, because let me tell you something. I see it amongst us and our children too. And especially I can speak from a perspective of we get this passion and this zeal for the work sometimes, and we don't necessarily put the energy and emphasis on the children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so much more important too to understand, and you wives and mothers, the role that you play as the father is doing the work. Because it's not to say that we should be negligent, right? You read in the scriptures, I always bring out where it says, everybody talks about how they have their son, they're like, oh, I got my Avenger. It's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that you got to train him up, right?
In the way he should be.
In the way he should be and all that. And then you've left yourself an Avenger behind you.
Right.
So Amariah had brought out Avenger in training.
Right.
Would probably more appropriate, right? Avenger in training. My son's an Avenger in training. By no means am I going to say he's an Avenger yet. It's not instant. The potential is there. It's in him, right? As a child of the Most High, as a son of God, from the tribe of Ephraim.
Bring it out.
Right? Right.
But there's steps that need to be taken in it. Come on, come back here. Read this. Come on. Read verse 3 again.
Verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers.
Disloyal. Truce breakers. Come on.
False accusers.
That's disloyalty. Come on.
Incontinent.
You know, incontinent is like... that's like when you have diarrhea, right? Incontinent. So what that means is that somebody that's, you can't trust them. My mom used to say friends are a dollar in your pocket, right? Mm. Meaning right, if your pocket gets a hole, they out, right?
Right.
Pockets, temporary stuff, don't stay in there, right? Mm. Incontinent. So that falls under disloyal. Come on.
Fierce. Despisers of those that are good.
Right? That fierce is that insolence, that impudence, right? Come on.
Traitors.
Right. So again, there's different ways and different words that manifest what we're reading in the pages of this book. Come on.
Heady. Is that heady? Or...
heady. Yep.
Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You're going to see that. We're going to profess to know God, right? It says, if you don't walk as Christ walked, then you're a liar and the truth is not in you.
Right.
Right? Read verse 5.
Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
So we need to be able to teach these things and reinforce these things, not just to our children, but even to ourselves. This is why I said this is the talk, right? Every black and Latino male needs. I didn't say boy. Mm-hmm. I didn't say child. Because there's some of us who are grown physically, but emotionally and spiritually, we are weak and we are children. Many of our people are out there like that. Many. So it's not just something that's dealing with your sons. And as we read on, you're going to see this guy gives an example, all right, where he had a company and he said, man, I went away for a little while, like a month or so. I come back. Everybody's doing their own thing. He said, I felt like I had to be the father to them that their father never was in the talk that I had to have with them.
Right.
And he uses the example in the context of his job and his company. But it got me thinking about how, hey, this is stuff that we need to do and how we need to be.
Right.
So he says, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, even with Paul, he says, obeying not in my presence only.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul had to have that same talk with those that were in his congregation so that they knew what to do when he was gone.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And it's the same thing. And we play that same role. Mm-hmm. We play that same role. So he says, all of them due to the offender's ignorance of what is good or evil. There's no knowledge of good or evil in the earth if not for us. That's why the scriptures accept there be a remnant of strong Israelite men. All our people would be as Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no knowledge of good or evil. Because ignorance means they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world has everybody confused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects us. On a spiritual level, don't affect the other nations on a spiritual level. They're what they are. They're created to be a drop of the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to us, the impact of this on us is so much more profound.
Right.
So he says, you're mean, was the message my staff gave me. Man, I've had brothers tell us we mean. We're trying to deal with him. We're trying to speak to the demon inside of him.
He needs some milk.
You mean. No, no. Hey, I had an officer who may or may not be the producer of this show. Who said one time, you know, you guys were like this and like this with me, and then I see you're not like this with this brother. What's going on? We had to have a talk with this brother and explain
Come
to him.
Come on, man.
There was different things we saw in you. And remember, the scriptures of some have compassion, of other pulling the fire. Mm-hmm. You have certain spirits on you, and the discernment told us, we got to be tough with this guy.
Right.
If not, he's going to fall off. And I think he's doing quite all right so far on this walk based on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All praises to the Heavenly Father for that thing. So he says, I am the founder, owner, and proprietor of a real estate company. During one weekly staff meeting, I gazed in disbelief at my 8 full-time staff members sitting around my boardroom table, rebelling against my leadership. I had been away from the office for an extended period of time and returned to discover that the inmates taken over the prison, right? This is why the scripture tells us, you know, I set elders in Crete, right, and in certain cities, right,
yep. Mm-hmm.
to set things in order, right, mm-hmm. that are wanting, right,
mm-hmm.
to teach them to obey principalities and governments and different things like that, right? And he says, you're mean, one of them repeated. He said, the children were ganging up on dad, and I was dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the dynamic that we have with a lot of brothers in this truth and mm-hmm. sisters, because there's that you weren't raised right.
Right.
And I think my mother did a great job, despite not having the scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. I always give her that respect, even though she's crazy as hell, all right? I always give her that much, and I'm grateful because, you know, the Most High set it up that way that I could have been jacked up. I could have been in a freaking dumpster.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Northern Kingdom.
Right? So, yeah, you got to give honor where honor's due, right? Up to a point.
That's right.
So it says the children were ganging up on dad. I was dad. I had been out of the country for more than 30 days and had left the office alone. I fasted for 18 days in the jungle of Costa Rica, subsisting on pure water, no food, no supplements. So he did that because he was seeking natural cures for cancer. Mm. The guy wound up dying of, I forgot what type of cancer, but he died of cancer, the author of this book.
Mm.
No supplements, no vitamins, no drugs, and came home to a small mutiny started by my employees. Come on, read on. Scroll down. Now you can scroll down. You'll be a little faster on the scroll now. Does it not scroll? Enough scroll. Did I give another picture to? Oh, is that it? You're mean, they whined as I sat at the head of the table and listened. That morning, two of my female staff showed up more than 1 hour and 40 minutes late for their jobs and customer service. See, he called that type of behavior rebellion. So we be talking about that here. You know, brothers show up late to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And listen, Camp 101, MOV, things happen. Mm-hmm. Right? Show up late to the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Come on, man.
Things happen. But when it's not because of things happening and it's just a disregard, that's rebellion.
Right.
And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft.
You're choosing to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you choose to do it, like I get it, you're a few minutes late occasionally because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know that but this particular time and this particular exit has an issue or whatever. And then you know you got to leave early. Don't blame it on the freaking exit, right, all the time or whatever it might be. So it says they showed up an hour and 45 minutes late. Golly. Hey, I had a brother when I had my cleaning business in New York. The shift was supposed to start at 10 p.m., man. This dude would show up at 3 or 4 in the morning, man. And initially, man, this was a brother.
Right.
And initially we dealt with it, right, because it was commercial cleaning like this monstrous restaurant. So we needed the help. So we were grateful, you know, to just have the hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we had to deal with it eventually. We had to fire his ass off of that stuff. We had to fire his ass. Bro, that's rebellion.
No.
That's a lack of regard, you know? Mm-hmm. Just 3-4 in the morning, your shift starts at 10. Anyway, the office hours are Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. The young woman in question took the liberty of showing up at the office at 10:40 and 10:45 respectively that morning and didn't even blink at the fact that they were late. In another office, they would have been fired. I had been away for so long that the culture of the office had begun to unravel. So going back to what you said, mm-hmm. when Paul says, not in my presence only, right,
mm-hmm.
but that much more in my absence, mm-hmm. seek your own salvation mm-hmm. with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
There's parallels in what he's saying here that we can apply to ourselves.
You know what that reminds me of? When Moses went up to the to get
yeah,
the tables of stone.
Yeah, and they come down and they was, right,
everything changed.
Without his oversight, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of my young salesmen, a 21-year-old man, made 0 sales calls the day before. And you know that happened every time Moses went to commune with God. He would come back and he would come back to rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you notice that in the history, every one just when he went up for 40 days, well, every time he went to commune with the Most High, he would come back and have to deal with some rebellion.
Mm.
Every time. So one of my young salesmen, a 21-year-old man, made 0 sales calls the day before. He told me he didn't like me. And he got emotional at the boardroom table. But when I was reading this, I said, oh, my gosh, this sounds like so many times that we've had to judge a brother or deal with counsel. Yeah. Right, at the leadership table. Right? He's saying the boardroom table. This is happening at the leadership table.
Right.
Telling me that I made him feel like a piece of shit while he turned red and had a temper tantrum like a baby. So you know he wasn't eating.
He needs some milk.
He, in fact, was acting like a piece of shit and desperately needed a spanking.
Hmm.
My manager, my young COO, chief operating officer, had not conducted the 11 a.m. team meeting where the team reviews the daily stats in over a month. We had an open discussion later that morning about why. During our meeting, he told me he didn't like me, that I was mean, and that he didn't like working there anymore. Do you see? He's setting the tone. And that's why he starts with the quote from Marcus Aurelius. He's setting the tone for what
the
he sees.
Ingratitude.
All of that stuff, because this is the way they were raised. This is the way they were raised.
Mm.
Where we at? I saw you make an adjustment. My young staff consisted of mostly millennials.
Mm.
You millennials.
Mm.
An entitled, weak, baby generation of kids who never want to grow up or do any real work. Fuck me. Ironically, I know this generation all too well. Said I am a millennial. Letting you know that you don't got to fall into the status quo. So you millennials, when we get on you millennials, you can rise above millennialness. All
right.
Over the next 2 days, I had to do 6 hours of one-on-one bomb defusal, listening, debugging, and cleaning out all the dog shit that these young men had in their brains. Because that's essentially what it is. It's crap. That's why the word of God has to pierce through. It has to divide asunder, get into the skillfully to the joints and marrows, find the problem, and discern what that issue is. Right? He says, you're mean, they protested again. I counseled with, you four young people should be fired for your bad behavior. I didn't fire anyone. Instead, I listened to the protest and the complaints. In the world of work and business, you have to do your job. You may not like your job or your boss or even the company you work for, but you have bills to pay, so you must do your work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of that unprofitable servant that you read about in Luke when it talks about that.
Right.
Right. It says, that's how we should be when it comes to this. You can't make these excuses of what's going on out there. There's a responsibility that's put upon us, right? Get Romans 12 and 1. We'll go there, but just for the sake of time. I don't want to go through the whole parable. I mean, it's only three verses.
Yes,
but
sir. The book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 1.
Freedom!
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Right, and there's steps to that. You present your bodies a living sacrifice by using the law of the Lord, which is perfection, to convert your soul. So we must build ourselves up and present ourselves a living sacrifice. Come on.
Holy, acceptable unto God.
Holy because the laws are holy and just and good, like you read in Romans 7. Come on.
Which is your reasonable service.
That's our reasonable service. And that goes with Luke where it talks about, listen, if you do what you're supposed to do, you shouldn't expect praise and things for that.
Mm-hmm.
So just like he says, in the world of work and jobs, you have responsibilities to do. Guess what? In this walk, you black and Latino males, this is what is needed.
That's right.
Brothers will be salty with you because they're putting in work for God, but they've not been called upon for a promotion.
The hell is this?
They've not been given any type of manly recognition. Mm-hmm. What are you really doing this for? You do what you're supposed to do? Hey, I have this thing with my wife sometimes. Sometimes we'll be going back and forth. I'm trying to remind her that, you know, as long as I'm keeping these commandments, of course, I'm the first fruits of God.
That's right. Bring
it out. The position and power that the Most High has endowed me with, the authority mm-hmm. that he's given to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to remind her that she was made for me.
That's right.
Not me for her. And so sometimes I got to bring this thing to her understanding. And she'll talk about, you know, she does this, that. And I say, listen, I appreciate all that stuff. I probably don't say it as nice as I'm saying now. But I say, I appreciate all that stuff. But that's what you're supposed to do. So when I'm here and I'm telling you things that I need you to elevate yourself on, because as I grow and mature in this truth, trying to measure up to the fullness and stature of Christ,
mm-hmm.
your wife should grow up with you
that's
into
right.
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to a point where it's like, hey, I got to stop with some of this stuff. When are you going to stop with these behaviors? When are you going to take it seriously enough, if not for me, at least for your own salvation,
mm-hmm.
right, that you rise to the level that you need to rise to for your reasonable service, for what you were created for?
Mm-hmm.
We were created to be the flock of his pasture, which are men.
Mm-hmm.
right? To be soldiers, to gird ourselves up and push forth with this truth, to be that remnant in this dark and wicked place, mm-hmm. right?
Stand up against the workers of iniquity.
To stand up against the workers of iniquity. Mm-hmm. They were created to help us as we do God's service, as we're about our
right.
Father's business. Their directive was to support and do that to us. Mm. So it all works together this way. So it's the same type of mentality here. So it says, work is the purpose of a man. And I had to have a how to be a man conversation with these young men to straighten them out and get them on the path to productivity. Mm. You have to have the talk. And this is the type of talk that's going to take them from boys to men. And again, he's using the job as an example here. It says, such is the challenge of a small company. I say such is the challenge in Israel. You can't fire everyone when they act badly. It's too expensive. Well, I would say you can't just throw everybody away. We got to work with people. If God gave them a dispensation of understanding, a dispensation of the gospel, we got to see that through in the end to see whether they were manifest of us or where they were not, right?
Right.
So he says, so instead, I listened to them and their complaints, and something became very apparent to me. None of these young men have real fathers to teach them how to be a man.
Mm.
Okay, get to the next one. He says, even my own father failed to teach me that most basic lesson because his father was a drunk who beat him. The lesson was missing from his own growing up experience, and that's what we deal with in this walk. Mm. And we're in a unique time in these last days, in that we can stop that cycle. Because many of us, we came out of the world. Those of us who are having children in this walk and are born in this truth, we have an opportunity to not make those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. We can stop it with us. We can make the impact that we need to make as these next generations come for however long life lasts. For us to really change that. Go back. Go back. He said none of them had real fathers to teach them. Listen, and that's not to say that maybe they didn't have a father. Because, again, we put value on the things, and I'm not saying you shouldn't learn these things. You know, maybe how to fix a car, right, or screw in a screw or change a light bulb or whatever it is. That's all well and good. We have programs where we try to teach young men different things like that. But there's more substance to what God calls you into being a man than those type of things. It's not defined by little actions in these things. It's defined by your character, how you carry yourself, what's in your spirit. And we place the value and the emphasis on the wrong things. And now those of us who have been enlightened with these scriptures, we have no more excuse for that. We're able to go ahead and apply these things and have these talks every day on the regular. And I'm not saying it's unrealistic probably to have it in the detail that we're doing, but there's moments that you have, and you take advantage of those moments that you're in the presence of those men, whether it's your own children, whether it's men that are young in this walk and repenting and you're guiding them through something. You have to realize that many of them didn't have real fathers that taught them to teach them how to really be a man. And that's not an insult. That's a fact. It's not to be offensive. That's a fact. This ain't a your daddy joke. Oh, you get upset with your mama joke. This ain't a your daddy joke for you to get on defensive with that. Your dad was inadequate in what he did for you. Because if he didn't raise you according to these scriptures, he didn't do his reasonable service. And it don't matter that it was out of ignorance. This wasn't right. That's not the issue. And it's not a matter of blame. It's letting you know you have to accept that. And when you can accept that, then you can start to accept that what's inside of you and your thoughts of that. Oh, you were somebody that had a chip on your shoulder for many years in this. I've seen you grow out of that. Very personally, I've seen you grow out of that over the years. You know you've had your ups and downs.
Yes, sir.
And if you let it, that thing will come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way you were raised. That's what you had. And look at where you're at now in your walk and how you developed. How you're useful in the body for God's ministry and things like that. You're a perfect example of that as I sit across from you and see that. From the day I first met you to today, I see a level of humility and meekness in you in God's sight that makes you stronger than what you thought you were when you had that chip on your shoulder. So I see those things. I see that in a lot of different brothers. And you got some brothers, You can't pour new wine into old bottles, right? You can't put a new patch onto an old garment, right? Because it's going to rent the whole garment.
Hey, Cap.
Yeah.
And also, you want to mention that he's single?
Oh, and the brother's single, right?
Freedom!
Good report, right? Has done well for himself, has really overcome a lot of his own things that were inside of him, because his father or whatever his father figures, out of ignorance, because they didn't have this scripture, were inadequate. They taught him how to be strong physically,
right,
but not emotionally and spiritually, not mentally. God taught him that.
Right.
I'm not even going to dare to try to take credit for that.
That's
or any
right.
man that he's dealt with and that he's looked to. God taught him that. And if he so happened to use the spirit of men to do so, then all praises to him for that. But God brought him up and raised him up. We're just vessels. We're just messengers to bring that thing forth. So he says, I sat at my boardroom table one-on-one, having the how to be a man and do your work conversation. And that's the talk. That's the talk that we got to have with all Israelite men. Correction, males, because not all are men yet.
Mm.
Not all are men.
The hell is this?
You come into this walk. I don't care what lifestyle you're in. I don't care how tough you were. I don't care how successful you were. I don't care if you were somewhat in the world.
He needs some
if
milk.
If you were not raised according to these scriptures, you're a boy. Mm. You're a boy. And the Bible makes you a man. The Bible makes you a man.
That's right.
The Most High's word changes you. I know we joke and we look at the pictures of my before and after, right? It's not just the beard. It's God's word. Am I growing up in this truth? I tell you, I moved out here and though I had responsibility and I was somewhat of note in my offices as to what I did back in New York, it wasn't until I came here and I had to be the last word. And I had to make certain decisions. And I had to take that accountability. And I say it jokingly that y'all stress me and whatever, but God's word aged me. And there's levels to this manning up. It doesn't happen all at once, right? Kind of goes into that manifestation of the spirit that I spoke about. There's levels how it manifests, right? He builds upon it. Builds a foundation. Make sure that foundation is strong. God says, okay, now it's time to add more. Now it's time to add more. And that's our walk in this. That's our reasonable service in this. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Make ourselves that living sacrifice, and not just make ourselves holy, but work to bring it out so whatever's manifest in others, God can bring that out in them, right? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the entries, right? Maybe I'm saying that backwards, but it says, I sat at my boardroom table one-on-one, having the how to be a man and do your work conversation with my young millennial men who were, in fact, still boys. I'll tell you, that's one of the greatest things you can embrace when you come into this walk, if you can realize that you're not really a man.
Right.
You may be a man in stature. You may be a man in, and I'm not saying everybody comes in broken. I was responsible with my job. So you may have some areas that the Most High has shored you up in. Mm-hmm. But then you got to look for those weak spots. And we all have them. And we continually do. Mm-hmm. Remember, Paul talks about how I had a thorn in my side.
Right.
He said that it was to buffet him, mm-hmm. lest that he thinks he was somebody. Mm-hmm. And then God said, he said, hey, I besought the Lord thrice that he take it from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Mm-hmm. We all have things that we'll continually deal with. And when you overcome it, he's going to challenge you with something else. And when you that's the purging. That's the impurities. So we go on and on and on with this. Mm-hmm. So he said, what the fuck? I thought to myself. This man, boy, never growing up weakness is an epidemic. It's an epidemic.
Facts.
A pandemic. That's the real pandemic.
That's the real virus.
A disease, a mental and spiritual disease that is plaguing our young people today. He said, during my meetings, I heard an entire laundry list of emotional shitty excuses coming from their mouths. Let's read some of them, right? And after we read this, I'm going to jump into some scriptures that I had here. Were you pulling something? You were going to pull something?
Yeah, I just had this script.
Okay, hold on. Let me finish this, and then you can bring it out. You can make your point. I don't love it here. I don't love selling this. I don't believe in this. Hey, you hear that a lot. I don't believe in this anymore.
Hmm.
What? I want to go traveling. I want to be a business owner of my own one day. I want to have my own congregation one day. I want to go out and have my own people.
The hell is this?
This isn't my dream. This doesn't make me happy. You make me feel like shit. I don't like you. You're mean to me. I don't. He said these are all shitty excuses. But all of this is interchangeable with reasons that I've seen people leave this truth. You're mean to me. I don't want to do my job. I would rather do another job. I would rather do another job in the company that I find to be more interesting. I'm going to go check out this other camp because they allow multiple wives. I'm going to go check out this other camp because, you know, they allow heathen to be in it. The work you want me to do is not what I want to do. The list goes on and on, but I will save your eyeballs from reading it. Reading their emotional excuses is a waste of your time.
Damn.
Where is this nonsense coming from? These young men I hired are good men. Yeah, the men that come in here and at least start their walk in repentance, you're good men. There's potential there. They are smart, good-looking, well-dressed, and speak well. The cream of the crop for their age. Yet they still think and say this bullshit when faced with the challenges of real work. And that's what happens. When God challenges you, this thing is a pleasant song to you. Right, you hear white man's the devil. You hear we're talking about unity and all these things. But when you got to do the things and do the work that takes you to see those things, that's when you start questioning whether this is for you or not. Remember, God's for all Israel, but not all Israel's for God. Yet they still think and say this bullshit when faced with the challenges of real work, their real purpose, and the discomforts of living life as a man. Contradictions do not exist. Wherever you think that you are facing a contradiction, check your premises. You will find that one of them is wrong. So I think I have to put up the definition of contradictions. I gotta explain this before I jump into some scriptures that I had written down here. I had the pictures up. You didn't even have to search for them. They were in the chat. The three definitions that I wanted. All right. If you want to look for those, give your scripture while they yes, pull up the. It'll work better if you do the pictures because there's three words because I drilled down in there that I have.
I believe verse 7. Yeah, this is going into off the topic when, like you said, Cap, that some of us had fathers. I didn't have a father growing up, but the men, the brothers and sisters that did, the father still didn't really teach them the wisdom and understanding on how to truly be a man according to God. And these are the attributes that weren't taught to them. Go ahead and read that.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 7. And if a man love righteousness, her labors are virtue. For she teacheth temperance. And prudence.
So that the temperance is being able to have that self-control, being able to handle your emotions, deal with certain situations with a sound mind. We weren't, just like how you was dealing with your son, like, hey, what you crying for? Cry for a good reason. Don't just be crying just to be crying. Don't be just emotional just to be emotional. You were teaching them temperance.
Yep.
Right? And this is a godly, righteous values that we need to give our sons and children. Go ahead.
Justice and fortitude.
Justice, to have gratitude, to do good, to show that appreciation, not to be a lover of yourself, to have good works. Go ahead.
Which are such things as men can have nothing more profitable in their life.
So that's the best thing a man can ever have in his life right there.
The thing
is
nothing is more profitable than that. Yeah. All praises to the Most High.
All
right, let me read the quote first before we go over the definitions. The quote. So he said, contradictions do not exist. Whenever you think that you are facing a contradiction, check your premises. You will find that one of them is wrong. So let's look into contradiction, right? Let's drill that down. So it says gainsaying or opposition. So you may have something in your mind that says, oh, this contradicts. Remember, everything that you were taught up until you started learning this Bible was all BS. And I don't mean that quite literally. I'm a strong proponent of saying there's certain skills that each of us have that we picked up in the world that if you bring it into subjection to God's will are useful for the ministry.
Right.
But it's talking about when you're dealing with the things of spiritual growth, maturation as men, right? Assertion or of the contrary or opposite, denial. Number three is what I wanted. And then I think I also have the definition of incongruous. It says a statement or proposition that contradicts or denies another or itself and is logically incongruous. Now, let's look up incongruous. I also put the picture of that there. I'm in the chat. Okay, incongruous. Out of keeping or place, inappropriate, unbecoming, Inconsistent is the term that I want, right? Lacking harmony of parts. So he's saying contradictions, right? When he says that they don't exist, those inconsistencies don't exist. What he's saying is, and then when we get the definition of premise, I'll be able to bring it all together, right? So contradiction is basically saying that something's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. So when you're in this walk and you're learning this stuff, there's no inconsistencies, all right? What's here, remember, it's perfect. It converts the soul. What's usually off is your premise, right? And let's get the definition of premise so you can understand. Because your premise comes from a place that isn't right, that isn't pure, right? Like you said, some of us didn't have fathers around. And whatever potential father figures we had, listen, they did, maybe some of them did the best with what they had.
Right.
But it was ignorance, and it was done out of ignorance because nobody taught them right. And nobody taught them right. And somewhere in the chain, that got broken. But that can be fixed in us. So premise is your logic, right? So it says a proposition supporting or helping to support a conclusion. So he says what you have to check is your conclusion. You basically came and you formed an opinion, but you didn't leave yourself open to it, right? So when he says that there's no contradictions don't exist, what he's really saying is that what's really wrong is where you're coming from here. You're trying to be up here with a lack of substantial information to come to a conclusion. There's things you don't see. There's things you don't understand. And because of the way you were raised, you don't have the humility enough to accept those things.
Right.
Go back to the quote. Golly, mess up the flow when you do that, but we got to be able to jump between the stuff. So he said, contradictions do not exist. Whenever you think you are facing a contradiction, whenever you think you are facing something that's contrary to what's coming out in these scriptures and what it really means to be a man and how we should walk and how we should act, he says what you must check is your premises. And you have to realize that your premises are all based on the philosophies of this world. They're based on deceit. They're based on rudiments, like you read in Colossians. Right? Let's read that real quick. 2 and 8 or 3 and 8?
2 and 8.
Right, let's get that real
quick.
So
that premise is pretty much your logic on the way you think and how you were raised.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Exactly it. Mm. And it's all based on the information. It's the programming that I spoke about. Mm. Your premise is the programming. Read that real quick.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 8.
This is what, this quote here is this is what the scripture says, right? Come on.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
That's what he says. That's those premises. Your premises are philosophy and vain deceit. And it spoils you from that living holy sacrifice that you're supposed to present yourself to God for. Your reasonable service. He says, beware of those things. Your premises are off. Come on.
After the tradition of men.
After the, because your premises are based on the tradition of men. Come on.
After the rudiments of the world.
After the rudiments of the world. After parts and pieces of the world, which is a mishmash of confusion. Come on.
And not after Christ.
And not after Christ. Is that it on that verse?
Yes, sir.
And that's that thing, that when you look into that thing that's perfect, which is Christ, all right, that's when you're going to realize that one of them is wrong. And what he's really saying here, because remember, he started and said contradictions do not exist.
Right.
So he says, when you're facing a contradiction, check your premise. You'll find that one of them is wrong. What he's really saying is that your premise is wrong. Because if contradictions don't exist, it's your understanding, right? Because it's based on what we read in Colossians 2 and 8.
We always say there's no contradictions in
the Bible. There's no contradictions in the Bible.
So if something's a contradiction, it's your logic.
It's your logic.
And your reasoning.
It's your thoughts. It's your reasoning.
Contradiction
it, because it was taught to you by the traditions of men.
Right.
It was taught to you by the rudiments of this world. Skybay says, my nephew's a very inquisitive child. They question many rules. Well, that's our nature, right? We're rebellious, so we question it. What happens when they ask a question and want corroborating evidence or a breakdown that neither I nor the Bible has? Sister, I will tell you then, because this is perfect, because
right. This
seemingly is a contradiction, sis, but there is no contradiction. What's lacking is your premise, and what that means is, sis, I don't know if you have a Lord that's in this truth. If not, there's a brother that may have the understanding. What's missing here, sister, is that you have the Most High has yet to reveal to you the corroborating evidence or breakdown. Mm. The Bible has all the answers.
That's right.
It just takes a certain level of experience to give that answer. All right. Mm-hmm. So, hey, that's the spirit. That's a beautiful question, yep. Sister. All right. That's a beautiful question. It was definitely in the spirit because it goes exactly with what we just explained and what we broke down. All right. So there is corroborating, and the Bible does have it. All right. I can guarantee you that the Bible does have it. What's off is the premise of your nephew, because unfortunately it's brought up in this world, which is based off of Colossians 2:8 and not after Christ. There's somebody in the congregation, there's some man that will be able to give the sense to help that young man.
That's right.
I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. All right. Real quick, because I'm going to have to finish the rest of this next week. I know you got that up. I wanted to at least give you the foundation of where this talk starts and how the talk is biblical. Let's get Deuteronomy 6:4. All right. And yet again, this is the only scripture I have written down that we're probably going to go over tonight. The spirit took the conversation and the dialogue somewhere else. All praises, brothers, was rolling in the spirit as well. All right. But we'll continue this next week as we segue into, you know, we'll probably go deeper based on whatever chapters I read in the book. Deuteronomy 6:4. Let's read that.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6:4.
Hear,
O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
So pay attention very closely, Israel. All right. The talk starts with this. Given the foundation and understanding of God, what's God's significance to us as the Israelites, to his people, all right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, right? It starts with this. And the Bible gives us a guideline of how you deal with these young men until you get that to that point, like in Exodus, where they say, what mean they body service? Mm-hmm. And then that's when you'll need somebody who can rightly divide the word, who can give the sense more, right? Come on, read.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Right. And these are the basic lessons that you must start with your children, even though they may not fully grasp and understand it yet. Because if you don't, the world surely is based on Colossians 2:8. Give them the traditions of men. Give them philosophies and vain deceits behind that. Come on.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Meaning they must be embedded in our minds. And from our minds, we must take it to their minds. Our premise under God and Christ must become their premise, their logic, so to speak. Excuse me. Come on.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children.
Those things that we just said, that's how you start the talk. And it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, right? Meaning these laws, statutes, and commandments. Though they may not fully understand it, it's a beautiful thing, Skybay, that your nephew is at that point where he's asking questions. He's at that point in Exodus where he's going to need a teacher. That's when it's time for a man or someone with that level of understanding to step in and guide. And if you and if your nephew if you don't have a Lord, or your Lord doesn't have that level of understanding, there's a brother that can help him, then help your nephew. Come on.
And when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
And see, this is so powerful to me. And I take this to heart, because a lot of times I say, man, I can't really always find the time to sit down and do something structured with my children. So when do I do it? Whenever I'm in their presence. When I'm walking them to school, when they come to me with a question, when I see a teachable moment because of a behavior or action they did.
Right.
If we're in a long drive, I do my best. I turn that radio off. I rarely drive with music, very rarely. And I used to drive with news, and I very rarely do that because I'm either on the phone doing calls, that's my mobile office, or, you know, that's my time where I'm meditating, kind of just, you know, in my thoughts, coordinating myself, right? And even more so when I'm with my children in the car, I try not to because, you know, kids can aggravate you with the amount of questions that they have, with the amount of observations that they make. But, you know, what, you have a small window there from that age of wonder when they say, what mean ye body service, to when they become teenagers and they think they're somebody and they're set in their ways, and it's harder to break through to them at that point. Not impossible, but it's much more challenging, right? Take a lot more work to do so, right? And if it be of God, you'll be able to do it. I don't say that to discourage you, but this is why the scripture talks about how, you know, you gotta deal with them when they're young. It says don't conquer them, right? Go ahead, read on.
Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand,
and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes.
Right now, this is where the so-called Jews come, and they'll do the wrappings. This is where the Pharisees went to that extreme on this, all right? The frontlets is the little box that they wear. They put it here. They made it that. God, remember, what he said up above, he said, they shall be within thy heart, right? He says, you hold it in your heart. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Yes, there's a physical aspect, right? The scripture also talks about when you look into the perfect law of liberty, it's like a man that looks in a mirror, right?
Right?
And when you look away, right, if it's not in your heart, you forget what type of person you are, right? So it's one part dealing with that you must keep your face in this, right? And it's another where it's talking about having it ingrained in their mind. So what that means is the talk is not just one time. It's a constant talk, and it's done in parts. It can be episodic, right? Remember I said you have teachable moments, right? So there's an episode there where, okay, this now's an opportunity to teach them this, now's an opportunity to teach them that. And it's not just children. I know the emphasis here is children, but this is for every male. That's why we have those opportunities as we gather together. We have the circles. We have MOV.
Right.
We have Men of Valor. We have Camp 101.
When you look at Christ, he said, unless ye be as little children,
yes,
you shall not inherit the
kingdom. Yes, yes. That's what it's going into. Come on, read on. We're going to read to verse 12.
Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
See, so I have the Ten Commandments. I have the tribe sign up, right? I have the image of Christ in my house. You have these things where you can keep it in front of them, right? Come on.
And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
And in this specific time, he was talking because he was like, hey, I'm going to put you into that promised land, right? The land of milk and honey. And he's really going into that thing where if it wasn't built up, you'll forget where it came from and who you credit it from. Right? It's kind of like those people who win the lotto. To sum it up very simply, because we're out of time here, and they squander the money, but then somebody who's actually built the wealth up, there's an appreciation for it, right? Because you realize the scarcity of it and you value it more. But it goes into saying why this talk is so critical is the point that I really want to make when you read that last part. And especially here, right? Because you read in Micah where it says, you know, this is not your rest. This place is sore, is polluted, and it will destroy you with a sword destruction. It's saying you must beware. It's the same thing like Colossians 2 and 8, right? He said, beware, lest through philosophy and vain deceit, right? That you form contradictions which don't exist. And what really needs to change is your premise, which goes into what the soldier just brought out, where it speaks about you must be as little children, meaning you got to start over.
Right.
No matter how big you are, how grown you are, you got to start over, all right? And that's the foundation of where the talk starts. Lord's will, next week, all right, I can go into it some more. I have more scriptures that I want to bring out that gives you more detail. And we'll continue on with this topic, all right? We're dealing with the men. We're dealing with how these prophetic times, these hard times in these last days needs to create strong so-called black, Latino, right, native men, meaning Israelite men, all right?
That's right.
Because that's that remnant, or the rest of us are going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, all right? Y'all got anything in closing?
No, sir.
Make sure you catch, we're doing Spanish on Saturday.
La Hora de
Poder.
Yes,
we got the Power Hour in Spanish on Saturday, exclusively on the Power Hour Facebook page. All right. That's at 11 a.m. Arizona time. That will be in Spanish language. Even if you don't speak it, like, share, you know, subscribe to it. All right. And Lord's will be on next. Are we on next Wednesday? Yeah, we will, because we start at 7. It gets dark before then for us, so New Moon will be over. But then New Moon's Tuesday night. I believe next week. Yes. So those will be on next week, Wednesday. All right. Catch us at 7 p.m. Arizona time. That is presently 9 p.m. Eastern time. All right. We're simulcasting on multiple pages now. But don't sleep on the Phoenix page. All right. Hit that subscribe, hit that like, and hit that share. All right.
Let's support.
And with that, we say shalom.
Kep.
Oh, wait.
Class highlight.
Bring it out.
If you hear me gearing up, stop. You got to stop me. You know I just flow.
I don't want to interrupt you in the middle.
Let's highlight the class. Hey, so I mentioned some aspects. I mentioned it earlier. the weekly spotlight. You can find it on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page. Did a class on the closing of Feast of Dedication. Mm-hmm. Family first. What does the Bible say about it? All right. What does the Bible say about it? Short class, about 90 minutes, a little less. Check it out. All right. And again, like, share, support. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
All praises to the Most High. All praises. Y'all contributed to that. You brought some good talking points. See, that's what I like. Toby be bringing it out. When you got no car, bro, you just sitting there just meditating on scriptures.
Just reading the Apocrypha.
Yeah, just reading the Apocrypha for days.
Yeah, I like to just sit and learn from Cap. I just be quiet around Cap. That's the best way to learn. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
All praises.